backyard, but it's above you. So when we had to roof the house, we just got outside, walked up the hill, turned around, and roofed the house. Okay, the back of the house is 18 inches tall. The ground is 18 inches from the roof. The front of the house is 10 feet tall to the ground, and you got 20 feet till a cliff. Okay? So it's very rural, and the fiddle, the concept of playing fiddle, I wasn't sure if that was something that you guys know. Okay? So do you guys, violins, playing fiddle, right? You got it? Everybody? Well, everybody says, well, what do you mean playing second fiddle? Well, I don't know about the rest of you, but most of my life, I struggled with feeling like I wasn't good enough. And I you know, you read the Bible and you're taught all these stories about David and Goliath. I'm like, well, I'm not a David. You know, I can see myself being scared. I can't see myself going out there. I know that you should pray to God. But I just don't see it sometimes. I'm like, I don't know. You know, you see Moses leading people. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. You know, you see the disciples and what they went through. It's like, I don't know. You know, my family's from Kentucky. You know, we're poor. We didn't have a toilet till I was 13. Okay? And you guys say, well, what do you mean? Well, there was this little house about 200 yards from the big house. It was a pretty cool outhouse. Do you guys know what an outhouse is? Okay? We took a tree. This was so cool. Are you ready for this? We took a tree, cut it down, hollowed it out, and put a toilet seat on top of the tree stump. And then we built a little house around it. So you open up the door to the outhouse, and it's a tree stump. Everybody's like, oh, that's so cool. And we ran electricity out to it, but we didn't have running water. We collected water in a cistern, and we just couldn't waste it on things like that. You needed it to drink, and you needed it for other things. So we didn't have a bathroom. When I turned 12, they put a bathroom on the front porch of the house. On the front porch. Isn't that kind of cool? So you'd walk up to the front porch, and you'd take a couple steps into the house, and everybody goes, how come you, when you go to the bathroom and you open the door and you take two steps down to the bathroom? It's because that used to be the front porch. So we just took the corner, put a bathroom in it, you know, closed it all off. So, but we didn't want to walk out on the front porch to get into the bathroom. So we walked into from the house, but meant you still had to walk down a couple steps. Okay? So it's very rural, very poor. But this concept, everybody says, well, what do you mean? We thought we weren't good enough. We weren't going to make it to the big time. We weren't going to be able to go to good colleges. We weren't going to be able to do anything. I was teasing, was it Ying? That Duke was my second choice for college, I know. But I actually went to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. And I remember thinking I wasn't good enough. And my dad drove a semi. That's what he did for a living. And he said, I'll give you $50 if U of M turns you down. I'm like, are you kidding me? You're going to give me $50 if I get rejected from the University of Michigan? I was like, man, I'll take your money. Okay. You know, well, little did I know it was, you know, 13 essays and all that stuff I had to do to get it. But I finally did it. I applied. And they accepted me. And I'm like, wait a second. So the concept today I want to talk about is the importance of playing second fiddle and how God uses ordinary people. And one of the disciples that we're going to look at today is Andrew. So in John, for those of you that have a Bible, quickly read a passage of Scripture. It's John chapter 1, starting in verse 35. We're talking about the disciple Andrew. Okay. John 1, verse 35. The verse that I'm focusing on 41, is the first thing. Well, I'm reading in the NIV. Oh, good. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is Christ. But if we look at verse 35, the whole section there, the next day John, which is John the Baptist, was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. It's kind of weird. It's kind of like a stalking thing, right? You know, here I am following John the Baptist. He's teaching me, look, the Lamb of God. And, you know, I feel like oh, they become stalkers and they start following Jesus. And then the verse, it leads me to believe that because it says, turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? I'm like, why are you following me? I'm Okay? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard that John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas. Okay. Now, it's really weird to me, because I like Andrew. Okay, and everybody, I think most people have heard of Andrew, but he's not his brother, right? I mean, his brother led 3,000 people to Christ in one day. You know, Jesus talks about building the church on his brother, okay? And Andrew, what do we know about Andrew? Can anybody in this room tell me something about Andrew, other than the scripture we just read? He was a disciple, yeah? What else? Okay? And it's like he's second fiddle. I mean, he's obviously important, right? He brings his brother to Jesus. His brother does great things, but he really becomes like Peter's brother, right? That's what people remember him for. They don't remember him for anything cool. And I want to explain to you, God uses ordinary people. He uses just regular folk. And I like to think of a lot of stories. And I was looking on the internet for some different stories. And I love some of these. Okay? So I'm going to give you guys a quick synopsis of somebody. And you guys guess if you can guess who it is. Okay? This person lost their hearing and vision at 18 months old, but became a world-renowned writer and humanitarian. Can anybody guess? Helen Keller, okay? Now, how did she learn to write if she couldn't hear or see at 18 months old? How did she learn to speak? Okay? There's a lot going on here. She was just an ordinary person with a big handicap, right? Who becomes world famous. I love this one. His aunt told him he loved to play the guitar. And his aunt told him he would never make any money playing a guitar. It was John Lennon. She was wrong, right? Sometimes the world tells us things, okay? Kicked out of school. This gentleman was kicked out of school. Anybody guess so far? Thomas Edison, okay? Kicked out of school. What is wrong with those teachers, okay? He's an inventor, kicked out of school. I mean, it was just crazy. It was kind of funny to me. This is my favorite of all story. He borrowed $750 to create a movie studio. Nope. Huh? Nope. He borrowed $750 to start one of the biggest studios, Walt Disney. Okay? Walt Disney. Now, here's the story, and I love this story because his brother's name is Roy. Okay? That's why I like this story. Because Roy becomes a very rich puppy on this. Walt Disney needed $250 from one person and $250 from a second person to start the Walt Disney Studios. Okay? Have anybody ever heard of Roy before? Roy Disney? Maybe one or two of you? Okay? He lent his brother $250, and Walt Disney and Roy Disney's uncle lent him $250. The uncle wanted his $250 back 1 year from the date that he lent it, and his brother Roy said, you just keep it and give me part of what you make. Okay? So $250, they said Roy was worth more than $1 billion out of $250. But it's also kind of like playing second fiddle. I mean, can you imagine? Like, I lent this guy $250 and it's Walt Disney Studios. It's not Roy and Walt Disney or Walt and Roy Disney. It's Walt Disney, right? Everybody thinks Walt Disney, Mickey Mouse. Roy Disney helped create Mickey Mouse too. Don't think of him a lot. It's Walt Disney Studios, right? My kids know Walt Disney. My kids, I took them just 2 weeks ago. We went down to that place in Florida. It's torturous, okay, called Walt Disney World. three little kids walking around. And man, they saw that and they knew who that was. That was Walt Disney. Okay? He created all this fun stuff for us to do. Walt Disney lost his job. He wasn't a success story. He didn't have enough money to start his company. He was an ordinary guy. But we always look at all these things that people do and we think, we can't do that. We're not important enough. We're not good enough. Okay? And I don't know for you, but I definitely struggled with that growing up. And in Christ, we don't have to struggle with those cool things. We're able to do things. I love this one. He got cut from his high school basketball team. Michael Jordan. Okay? What is wrong with that coach? It's Michael Jordan. Okay? He's not. He's Michael Jordan. 6 world championships, I think, or something like that. That's crazy. He couldn't play high school basketball. Okay? Older basketball thing. He missed the last shot in his championship game in high school. It was John Wooden, for those of you. I mean, he's a pretty famous coach. He won 10 times. They won the NCAA tournament. Steve Jobs, you guys know, you've heard about that. What about the Yahoo guy? At the age of 10, he only knew one English word, and he becomes the co-founder for Yahoo. He was just an ordinary guy. Just an ordinary guy. But he could do great things. And you guys and myself, we're ordinary. But that's the beautiful part of it. We can be used by God, and nobody will say, oh, it's him because he's super smart, or oh, it's her because she's this. We're ordinary, but we do have to be willing. And that's a piece with the scripture there that when we're talking about Andrew, that some people, they struggle with. It's like, well, Andrew was following John the Baptist. He was a disciple of John the Baptist. He saw the Christ. He recognized. He turned around, followed him. Just an ordinary guy. Goes and gets his brother, leads his brother to Christ. And the impact that has on our world today is incredible. And it starts with Andrew going and getting his brother and leading him back to Christ. But Andrew doesn't really get the credit. He's playing second fiddle. He's a support mechanism. I met a guy the other day, associate pastor at one of the larger churches in the area. And when he introduced himself to me, it was the weirdest thing he ever said. I'm like, oh, great to meet you. How long you been working at this church? I'm talking, it's like a 5,000-person church. It's a big church. It's grown quite a bit. And he said, oh, I've been there 20 years, you know, la, la, la. I'm like, wow, 20 years as the associate pastor. As the associate pastor. I'm like, 20 years? Okay, now that struck me weird. I mean, I've been in church my whole life. I've never met an associate pastor who didn't want to become the main pastor after being the associate pastor for 20 years. I just haven't seen it. How many of you guys went to Avondale Schools? Anybody go to Avondale? Okay. Avondale School District down there by Troy, they had the Michigan's longest assistant principal. He was the assistant principal for 39 years. Who does that? I mean, it's like, what? I mean, you wanted to be number two for 39 years. And he very clearly articulates that he felt his impact in helping that school move forward by supporting whoever was going to be the principal. He had, at the time, I don't know what it ended up being, 14 principals he had served. 14 different principals. He had helped them become successful. Just an ordinary guy doing what he feels he's called to do, and the impact that he's making, they say, is huge. That the impact that he helped stabilize. Because the new principal comes in, he needs to learn what's happened. He learns it from the assistant principal. If the assistant principal's new, then nobody knows what's going on, right? It's a harder time to catch up. So it's fun for me to think about this because I'm an ordinary guy. Okay? I tell people this all the time. They say, do you have hobbies? That's not really, because I'm not good at anything. Okay? I like to play golf. I went golfing the other day. My goal was to break 110. I got 108. Okay? I was excited about that. I'm not good at that. Everybody, do you like computers? Yeah, I love computers. I don't know how to fix them. I don't know how to do a lot of stuff. when they work, I love them. Okay? Like, what are you really, really, really good at? I've only got one ticket in like 30 years of driving. Is that cool? Like, maybe I'm a good driver. Okay? I can drive school bus. Okay? You know? Like, well, what do you... I love to play basketball. Look at me. Okay? Look at me. Not a good basketball player. I love it. I have fun. But I'm not good at it. But you know what? I wasn't called to be a basketball player. Okay? I love people. I love my students. I love my staff. I love my church. I love my family. I love people. And that's what God's called me to do. He's called me to love people. He's called all of us to love people. And that's something that I can be really good at. So, what, you know, for fun for me, it's just going somewhere and sitting down and, like, forcing somebody to talk to me. Okay, go to, like, I'm one of those creepy guys at Starbucks and Caribou, you know, sitting over there just waiting for somebody to talk to me so I can talk to them. And, you know, my wife's like, who are you talking to? I don't know, some guy, Ying, he's going to Duke, you know. That's what, you know, I told him Duke was my second choice. I like the guy next to him better. He's going to U of M because we're going to sing the fight song together. Okay, that's just what I do. Okay, I like to talk to people. Okay, I want to know things about people. I want to know them to know that I care. We're all called to do that. And Andrew, though, it just blows my mind. Till I did this study, this next scripture that we're going to read together, I've been in church my entire life, guys. I went to Christian schools till I went to college. I've been to every Sunday school class, Awana class, thing you can think of. I totally missed this till I was preparing for this lesson with you guys. Okay? It's the feeding of the 5,000. So John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. I know it's long, so I'll try to read quickly. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous things he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw the great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked him this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Okay? So they're getting ready for the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus knows what he's going to do. He asked this question to Philip. It's like a pop quiz. And Philip fails. But if you read on, another of his disciples, Andrew, and it does crack me up. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Okay, so he's already playing second fiddle in the Bible. Okay, we can't just call him Andrew. You ought to call him Peter's brother. Okay, he's the ordinary guy. He's just don't confuse the two, right? Sibling rivalry here. Peter's brother spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Okay, so the first time we hear of Andrew, he brings Peter to Jesus. The second time we hear of Andrew, he brings the lad to Jesus. Now, I knew a disciple had gone out and brought the lad, but when I've heard the story 1,000 times in a sermon, I've never heard about Andrew's part. It picks up with the lad, right? Oh, the lad, he had faith. You know, he came prepared. You know, he was willing to be used. But he was only willing to be used because Andrew went out and got him and brought him to Jesus. So it's the second picture that we see of Andrew going and getting somebody and bringing them back to the Christ. Okay? And it's so important because, again, I identify, and hopefully some of you will identify, with Andrew as just an ordinary guy. I'm setting this up so that all of you will know that we're just ordinary people and you guys can go out and do some great things for Christ. You're being called to love people. You're being called to do things. You're being called to serve. And so often, and I deal with this with the kids at my school, they've been so trained and so taught about Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. I even have little ones. I have an 8, a 6, and a 3-year-old. And the other day I asked my 3-year-old a question, and she looked at me and she said, "Jesus." I'm like, I just asked you what you wanted for breakfast. Okay? She's 3 years old, and she's already learned that she can say, the answer is Jesus. And people will go, aww, oh, isn't that cute? Okay? Well, your whole life, if you're trained like that, it's not cute at the end. She wasn't thinking about the question. She was thinking, oh, I'll get off with a Jesus answer to the question. Okay? She's not trying to put thought into it. She's not. So we're so conditioned and trained in that way that to do great things, it's Jesus, right? Jesus gives us the power, yes. But we have to be willing to be used, yes. But can he use me? Yes. He can use you, okay? He can use you. So the second reference to Andrew, he brings the lad to Jesus. There's only three references to Andrew. There's a third reference also in John where there's some Greeks that wanted to meet Jesus, and he brings the Greeks to Jesus. So each time we see Andrew, ordinary guy, you know Andrew, Peter's brother, you know who we're talking about. Peter's brother, Andrew, you know, he's playing second fiddle, you know, he's just that ordinary guy, he's kind of that workhorse, he's not the superstar, he's not good at a lot of things. But if we're willing to be used, we realize we're ordinary, we give the power, we give the praise to God for what we're doing, we can be exciting tools for Jesus. Too close there. Okay. Playing second fiddle is also important. God has a role for each of us. And if you're not willing to play that role, sometimes you're going to have trouble in your life. Okay? We already know we're ordinary. We know we can be used. We see examples of that in the scripture. But on the reverse side, sometimes, like, would you like to be like the last? Right? I mean, when you guys are standing in line at Disney World with me, do you volunteer to be last? No, matter of fact, I'm like rushing to get to the front, right? I'm hoping I have one of those passes that lets me get to the front, right? Okay? Oh, wait a second. You know, the coach says, hey, these five guys are going to play and you're going to be the first one in. Oh, great. Yeah. I'm a loser. Okay, I'm not good enough to be in the first five. Okay? It's hard for us. Sometimes it's like, even though we know we're ordinary, I'm just not going to play then. I'm not going to be used. If I can't be that really important, cool thing that I want, well, God's God, right? He can do whatever he wants. And I love this picture. And I know I'm losing some of you, so I'm going to close it up. But I love this picture when Lazarus, okay, when Jesus is there, Lazarus is dead, he's at the tomb. I'm pretty loud. I can just shut.
Raises Lazarus from the dead, which I love this.